So one of the things before we get into the actual Parsha, the topic that I broadly want to discuss, and this is in the title on the top of the page, is the challenge and opportunity of living with uncertainty. Something that I thought a lot about and continue to think a lot about, but especially during college and kind of these years, is really, again, the challenge and opportunity of living with uncertainty. There are a lot of decisions that everyone is making about their lives, about, you know, what the next, you know, 3 to 5 years look like, even trying to think longer than that, what the next 5 to 15, even longer than that, what are all of our goals are, what we want our life to look like, etc. And one of the challenges is that oftentimes we don't really know, whether it be what profession, what type of community we want to live in, the type of people we want to be surrounded by, etc. And that's like a little bit anxiety provoking as far as I wish I just had clarity. And that term gets thrown around a lot. I wish I had clarity on whatever it is. If I just had clarity, then I'd be able to, you know, live with a little bit less anxiety. Things would be clear. I'd be able to pursue the things that I wanted to pursue or that I was supposed to pursue with more conviction, with more passion. And I think this Parsha, and specifically a Medrash, and maybe diving into that Medrash a little bit, has a little bit of an answer or maybe a shift in perspective that could potentially be helpful, especially that, you know, this period of life doesn't end with the end of college. I don't know how many of you are seniors in the group. I think a solid amount. But either way, meaning, you know, being here, it's a pretty short amount of time that you're here anyway. That period of time doesn't just end at the end of college when you move on to the next stage, you know, whatever, you know, professionally, where you end up living, etc. It's really something that, you know, that goes on for a while, maybe even for the rest of one's life in a certain sense. So it behooves us to try to think about how to approach this uncertainty that life constantly throws at us. So famously, we know that Parshas Vayechi, if you look at, I am acknowledging the fact that since everyone here generally sits in the women's section, you might not be able to see this, but Parshas Vayechi is unique in that if you look at an actual Sefer Torah, I was actually going to take out a Sefer Torah for a moment. We actually have one here, but none of them are ruled to the right place. It's actually to show everyone. If Parshas Vayechi is what we call a Parsha Stuma, in that, the beginning of Parshas Vayechi, there's no break between the end of Parshas Vayigash and the beginning of Parshas Vayechi. In the Torah, normally there's a break in between the two Parshios. Vayechi and Vayigash are an exception to that rule. And Rashi, one of the first Rashis, if not the first Rashi, on this week's Parsha, in the words Vayechi Yaakov, in the second source, asks the question, Lama Parsha Zustuma? Normally the rule is that a Parsha, there's a break between the previous Parsha and the next Parsha. Why is Vayechi different? So one of the answers that I want to focus on tonight, based off the Medrash Tanchuma that's quoted in source 3, Rashi says, Davar Acher, one of the answers, Shebikish Legalus Esaketz, Yaakov wanted to legalis es haketz. He wanted to reveal the end. There's a question in the Machlokas about what the end means. One opinion is that he was talking about the end of the galus in Mitzrayim. The Maral happens to not like that. He thinks that ketz means the ultimate ketz, meaning ultimately bias hamashiach, the coming of Mashiach and the end of days in a certain sense. So Yaakov wanted to reveal that to his children. V'nistam mimenu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Medrash tells us, hid that ultimate end, the end of days, the coming of Mashiach from Yaakov, and Yaakov was not able to relay that over to his children. And the question is, it seems very, very strange. And maybe just even compound the question, the Medrash, without reading it inside, points out that Yaakov was not the first one of the Avos to try to do this. That Yitzchak tried to be Megala the Ketz, again, tried to reveal this, you know, how history was going to unfold, how the ultimate coming of Mashiach was going to happen. Yitzchak tried to reveal that to Esav, and Yaakov did not allow it. Seemingly a theme amongst the Avos, you know, 2 out of 3 at least a majority, they tried to be Megala, this case, try to reveal how everything was going to play out for them, and ultimately Hashem intervenes and stops that. So we have two different questions. What was Yaakov and Yitzchak in his own time trying to accomplish? Why did they think it was so valuable to do this, to reveal how history was going to play out? And why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately tell them, you know, I'm sorry, but you can't do this. You can't reveal what's ultimately going to happen to them. Two different questions. What was Yaakov's intention? What was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's action ultimately to prevent that? In order to understand that, and I think this is a very compelling point, Rav Chaim Friedlander, who was one of the mashgichim in the Panovich Yeshiva, formerly Zatzal, was one of the people who also helped compile the Michtav Me'el Yahu of Rav Dessler. points out something I think that's incredibly powerful. This is in like they're not numbered, but the fourth source. Without reading this inside, he points out that's actually very interesting. What was Yaakov Avinu trying to do? And this goes back to the introduction that we started with. Yaakov Avinu thought, if I'm able to tell my children, and that ultimately they're going to be able to pass it over to their children, you know, for many, many generations, how everything is going to play out, what their role is, why some of the hardships that they go through actually lead to geula, why certain of the galios end up, you know, leading to geula, etc. If I give all of that over, if I make everything clear, if I give them clarity, so what's going to happen? They're going to be able to serve Hashem in a much better way because they're going to know. This is exactly why this is happening to me. This is exactly why I'm going through this. This is exactly the role that I'm supposed to play, that I'm supposed to proactively play in this story. And therefore, I'm going to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a better way. I'm going to understand why all these things are happening to me. And at face value, that seems to be, you know, a very reasonable idea. Yaakov seemingly is correct in a certain sense. Of course, we should want to serve Hashem in the best way possible. And in order to serve Hashem in the best way possible, that clarity that we all seek and that we all yearn for would allow the brothers and then ultimately all of us to be able to serve Hashem again in the ultimate way. However, what Rav Friedlander points out in Sif Seichayim, he points out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a very different idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu may have even acknowledged the fact, I understand that it might be easier. You might even be able to serve Hashem in a better way if you knew exactly what was going to happen, if you had clarity, if you knew how things were going to play out, if you knew that what your role was in it. However, there would be one major thing missing at that point. The one major thing that makes it worth it to not have that clarity, that makes it worth it to prevent Yaakov Avinu, to prevent Yitzchak from relaying over this ultimate case, again, how everything was going to play out, everyone's role in it, what was going to be missing was the nisayon, the challenge of emuna, the challenge of tzadik b'emuna so yichya, the challenge of having emuna. This is interesting because you might think, why is it such a value to have emuna specifically when I don't know what my role is, when I don't know how things are going to play out? You would think, emuna is something I have to have because since I don't know what's going to happen, therefore I need to have emuna because I don't understand everything. Wouldn't it be so much better if we knew everything, if we had clarity, and then we'd have even more emuna because, well, now I really see Hashem's ultimate plan. I see how everything's going to play out. I see what my role is, and that would lead to even more emuna. Seemingly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not saying that. Is not saying that emuna is something that would be better. Is just emuna is not something just that's just practical, that I need to have emuna just because I don't know what's going on. But that specifically, the reason why we don't know exactly what our role is, the reason why we don't have clarity, is because of the need for emuna. That the emuna that we have when we don't know exactly what our role is, when we don't have clarity, when we live with uncertainty, is a value specifically. It's not a necessary evil. It's a value and it's something positive. And the question is, what exactly does that mean? What does it mean that emuna, again, is not just a necessary evil? Again, obviously not evil, but a necessary reality. A necessary reality that I have to have emuna because there's no other option because I don't understand. But rather, it's something that is baked into the system. The reason why we don't understand is because of the value and the positive element of emuna. What exactly does that mean? And to try to answer that question, I want to turn to two different ideas that I think build off each other. One by Rav Gedalia Shor and his Sefer Or Gedaliahu, a very, you know, famous and well-known Sefer. His son, Rav Avram Shor, is the Sefer Alekach Ve'alibuv, which is very, you know, contemporarily, you know, popular Sefer. When I mean contemporary, I mean like mamish right now. He continuously puts them out. His father, Rav Gedalia Shor, again, the Sefer Or Gedaliahu is very popular. And then playing off with that, an idea from Rav Moshe Sternbach in his Sefer Tam Vadas. Rav Gedalia Shor says the following, which I think is a very powerful idea. Again, dealing with this medrash, dealing with this idea of, again, Yaakov wants to be Megala the Kates. He wants to, you know, reveal what exactly is going on, what exactly, you know, everyone's role is, how Hashem's going to act with the world. And then Hashem's ultimately stopping that, points out the following. He says, if you look, Uperish HaDvarim, it's in the first column, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines down, the last word on the line. Uperish HaDvarim, ki kol hagalus, hu rak hester b'chitzonius. That all galus, all hester, all time that there's not clarity, that there's uncertainty, which is the world that we live in, it is only bechitzonius. Meaning, that there really is a reason. There really is, again, you know, there is a reason behind all of it. And even within galus, within a time of uncertainty, that time that we really don't understand why we're going through things, we don't understand, we don't know what path we should be taking, that galus, there is an ability for us to be able to go beyond that chitzonios, go beyond that uncertainty, which is at face value, and go deeper to pnimius, and to understand ultimately what the purpose, what our purpose is, why we're going through the things that we're going through. If a person is able to break through that, at that point, it ceases to be galus. Again, it could be you're still going through that difficult thing. It could be there's still a certain uncertainty, but at that point, there's no more galus. Yaakov Avinu, even when he was in Mitzrayim, was able to live in a way that even though he was in a place of physical galus, but he was not in a state of galus. And Yaakov Avinu, what he wanted to do is share this point with his children. All of the things that you're going to go through, all the difficult times, all the persecution, all the times of uncertainty, know that just at face value, that you can break through that. And even though you might be in a place of physical galus, fundamentally you won't be living a life of galus. And he points out, if you go past the brackets in the next column, v'davar hazeh nistam mimenu. This truth, this reality that Yaakov Avinu was trying to give over to his children, that even when you're in galus, that doesn't mean you have to be stuck in galus. You can rise above that. You can break through that galus, that hester, that uncertainty. That message was blocked from Yaakov being able to share it with his children. Ki ilu haya megala lo haya galus klal. Because if he would have given over that message to his children, and by extension us today, would never have experienced galus. Which is a fascinating idea. Again, in trying to relay the message of even when you're in galus, that doesn't mean you're stuck in galus. There's a way to break through it. There's a way to break through that uncertainty, that hester panim. If Yaakov would have given over that message, there would have never gone through galus, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't allow Yaakov to give over that message to his children. What I think comes out of this idea from Rav Gedalia Shor is that there is value, again, building off this idea of emunah, again, not just being necessary, but being, you know, a value in and of itself, building off of this idea that galus itself, again, time of uncertainty, living with, you know, not knowing exactly what our purpose is and struggling with that, in that galus is a value. If Hashem would have let Yaakov relay this message, there wouldn't have been galus. And because of the value, in a certain sense, of the experience of galus and how it shapes us, therefore Hashem did not allow Yaakov Avinu to relay this message. Hashem, in a way, wanted us to have to live actually in galus, in a certain sense, and the experience that gives us, to live with actual emunah, not just as, you know, it being necessary, but because of the value that it gives us. And the question is, what exactly is that value that it gives us, and how can we then apply it to our lives and this, you know, general time of life where we're, and again, this never truly ends, but especially in very formative years where we, where we're trying to make, you know, big decisions about our lives, what we want our lives to look like, and a lot of things might seem uncertain, and it's normal for them to seem uncertain. So the final idea is an idea, again, from Rav Moshe Sternbach. If you skip down, again, he's just really talking about the medrash in the first couple of lines. If you go down to the second to last line, the first word on the line, he explains what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really was trying to do. Why was HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, I'm not going to let you know how history is going to play out. I'm not going to let you know what your individual role. I'm not going to give you clarity because you need to have emunah, because you need to experience galus. Why is that true? So he says, "Aval Kadosh Baruch Hu lo ratza sheyigale haketz b'sasa mimenu zmana sheYisrael machzikim mamad b'tzaras hagalus davka k'shemitzapim yom yom liYeshua." Why did Hashem hide again the ultimate ketz hayamim and everything that leading up to that? Why did Hashem not give them the time, the moment that Mashiach was ultimately going to come? Because when do the Jewish people? When are the Jewish people specifically able to stand up with strength and experience tsaros, galus in a way that is productive? Davka kishemitzapim yom yom li Yeshua. Only when every single day they're mitzapel li Yeshua. We say in the Animam, it's Animam in Temunah Shleima We are supposed to be mitzapeh li Yeshua. We're supposed to, you know, to anticipate Mashiach every single day. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given us that clarity, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given us, this is exactly how things are going to play out. This is your role. This is ultimately when Mashiach is going to come. We would have lost that element. We would have lost the idea of mitzapeh yom yom li Yeshua, of every single day being mitzapeh li Yeshua. Because if we would know, this is when Mashiach is going to come. This is how things are meant to play out. So that leaves, again, no uncertainty. And when there's no uncertainty, that every single day, that mitzapeh li Yeshua, that emunah that we're supposed to have, that forms us, would be lost. And I think this is a very powerful idea, again, for us in our lives, and living with that uncertainty. That this uncertainty, the lack of clarity, though it might be, and it probably is very frustrating at many times, we would think, again, as Yaakov Avinu did, it would be so much better if we just had clarity. If we just knew, we'd be able to live much better lives, more fulfilled lives, more productive lives. We'd be able to achieve our goals, etc. And all of that may be true. But one thing would be lost. The idea of mitzapeh li Yeshua yom yom is every single day desiring and anticipating Yeshua, both on a national and global level, meaning the ultimate Yeshua, but also our own individual Yeshua. Yeshua that's waiting for each and every one of us individually. Because ultimately, again, going back to, and this applies, I think, to pretty much, you know, everything that we're anticipating about our lives, again, in really so many different areas. So yes, it would be easier in a certain sense if we just knew. But what that would do is not allow us to have the formative experience of, again, every single day being able to daven for it, be able to put an effort towards it. The experiences of uncertainty and how we navigate that are ultimately the ones that shape us, that allow us to not only continue dealing with that uncertainty for the rest of our lives, but form us into the people who we are trying to become. And if we knew what that end goal was, we would miss out on that entire experience. And maybe, hopefully, this idea, again, the idea of that emunah is not just one of those things that we say, I throw up my hands because I don't know, therefore I have to have emunah. But emunah is supposed to be part of the experience. Emunah dafka when we don't know what's supposed to be. The experience of gullus is dafka supposed to be one that is formative, is one that is necessary to us. Ultimately, again, because the people who we are going to become depend on is necessary to, again, every single day, to deal with that uncertainty, to deal with that lack of clarity, and navigate that every single day, again, davening, hoping, putting in our effort, our hishtadlus, for both our individual and national geula. I think, you know, hopefully this is something that resonates, and that, you know, going forward, you know, now we have a little bit of time, you know, over vacation. Sometimes, you know, hopefully the vacation will just be, you know, relaxing, won't be too many heavy things weighing on our minds. But oftentimes when we have a little bit of time to process and think for a moment, you know, we don't have the rush of classes and midterms and finals, etc. Those are some of the times where we, you know, when there are less things going on, that all of the bigger thoughts come into our head, and we really have time to focus on them. And hopefully, you know, this perspective can be one that provides both some comfort, but I think also is, you know, a little bit of is informative as far as the process goes, to be able to deal with the challenge, but also I think the tremendous opportunity that uncertainty and lack of clarity give us in our lives.